Poised for Exit is a show for business owners who want to achieve a successful exit based on their own terms. Your business exit will likely be the biggest financial transaction of your life, and for most, you'll have one shot at doing it right. The topics and guests we feature and the stories they share will provide valuable ideas and strategies to improve operations and grow enterprise value so you can achieve the best possible exit outcome. Now here's your host, award-winning certified exit planning advisor, Julie Keys.
Welcome everyone to Poised for Exit, the Exit Planning Podcast. Our guest for this episode is a partner with a boutique private equity firm in the Twin Cities. We're going to uncover some of the most commonly held misbeliefs and myths about private equity that business owners are going to want to hear. But first, let's hear from our show sponsors.
Right now, there's a record number of buyers looking for businesses, and many businesses are selling at a premium. To get a free, confidential business valuation so you'll know what your business might be worth, contact a broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors at 612-455-0880. We're Minnesota's largest seller of companies. Let us help you maximize your life's work. Call 612-455-0880 or visit sunbeltmidwest.com.
What we see with many businesses is that they've never gotten marketing to work consistently, and the marketing they do doesn't meaningfully impact their bottom line. Data approaches it differently by partnering with clients for long-term, sustainable marketing solutions. They start with a consultative, crawl, walk, run approach that helps you scale your marketing efforts naturally. Data provides marketing for the long-time success of your business to tell your story in a compelling way and to make sure the value you bring is apparent to everyone. Go to data.com for more information. That's data.com.
TrustPoint will design and manage a 401k plan that fits your company's needs. They handle everything from record keeping and investments to employee education and ongoing administration. And they take on the highest level of fiduciary responsibility to ensure your 401k plan is compliant. You already have plenty to keep you up at night. Your 401k plan should not be one of them. Visit TrustPointInc.com for more details.
For business owners, it can be overwhelming to start planning a transition or exit strategy, but it's so important to avoid unwanted outcomes and unexpected tax bills. The CPAs at JAK, John A. Knutson & Company, can guide you and help make sense of the numbers. Our firm was established over 90 years ago, and we've assisted countless companies with ownership transitions. Leaving your business is a process that takes time. So contact us today to discuss your situation. Visit our website at jakcpa.com. That's jakcpa.com.
Hey, everybody. We are in the studio today with Shane Slominski, who's a partner with Tonka Bay Equity Partners. Shane, welcome to Poised for Exit.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks so much for having me today.
I'm so glad that you could be here. Excited to have you here to share your story, the different things that you do as a private equity firm that set you apart are really significant. And anybody who knows anything about your firm will say the same thing. So it's not just me gushing. It's really true.
Well, thank you for saying that. We certainly take our reputation seriously. We've been around for 25 years investing in the lower middle market here in Minnesota, and we try to go about things a little bit differently than most private equity.
I know. And like I said in my opener, we're going to kind of try to dissect and take apart some of the myths, easy for me to say, and misbeliefs surrounding private equity, because a lot of sellers of businesses kind of shy away from it, right? Because they hear bad stories. So we're going to try and unravel that a little bit and paint a better light.
Great.
But before we do that, let's talk about you. How did you get where you are today?
Sure. So
in this work.
I joined Tonka Bay 18 years ago. Mm. As I mentioned, we've been around for 25 years. I spent the first part of my career in public accounting. So out of school, I worked for Arthur Andersen and then Deloitte & Touche working in the audit group. So I got to work with a lot of different types of companies. And I was super lucky that many of my clients were M&A centric. They were doing acquisitions. And so I got some M&A experience, but also some of my clients were private equity owned. So I had the unique opportunity to interact with the private equity owners, and that really whet my appetite for wanting to do this type of work. It was just really interesting the types of questions they were asking and the focus on creating value, creating shareholder value. And so in 2006, I connected with the founder of Tonka Bay, who was raising fund number two at the time and was looking to build out the team. And I joined and have been there ever since.
What a story. And there's, how many partners are there?
Four? We have four Five? Partners, yep. Mm-hmm. Four partners and 11 people in total.
Interesting. So maybe we could start by explaining to our listeners who aren't quite as familiar with the different types of private equity, just to kind of unpack that a little bit before we go into some of the different things that you guys are doing at Tonka Bay.
Sure. Yeah, that's great because it is a kind of an opaque term. It's a big industry, and private equity can mean a lot of different things.
It's kind of like saying medicine.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's a huge, massive industry and growing. It's been around for a while now, but it continues to grow pretty rapidly. And it can mean a lot of different types of investing. Private equity, you know, generally means firms that invest in private investments, so not in the public markets. Mm-hmm. But there's really different sectors within private equity. There's the buyout sector, venture capital. There's mezzanine firms and there's real estate firms. Those are some bigger buckets. There's others. Within each of those, there's a lot of subsectors. It gets bifurcated by size, strategy, geographic focus, type of investing. The most common type of private equity would be the buyout category. That would be investing in companies that are looking for – the owner is looking for a transaction to take money off the table. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most common type of private equity would be the buyout industry. But venture capital would be more early stage. Real estate would be, you know, kind of obvious. And then mezzanine investing is more debt investing.
So, Shane, let's take each of those just for a minute and break each of them down. Maybe you could illustrate a little bit about the differences and what a scenario like that might look like for each one.
Sure. So venture capital is early stage investing. It mm-hmm. would be companies that are just getting going, maybe even pre-revenue, just ideas, or companies that aren't making money yet that are looking to raise capital to help get to those later stages. Mm-hmm. Buyout investing would be later stage. So these would be companies that have been around for a while, are profitable, growing, and are looking for a liquidity event and additional capital to continue to grow the business. Mezzanine investing typically is debt investing that's used to support buyout strategies. So it really goes hand in hand with the buyout strategies, but there's many firms that focus just on lending into private equity transactions to support the buyout firms from a debt capital perspective. And then there's a whole sector of real estate investing that's been growing rapidly, which is another sector. So typically investors that invest in private equity are large institutions, insurance companies, college endowments, pension plans, and other institutions that have a lot of capital that needs to be invested and want to carve out part of their allotment outside of the public markets into these different sectors of private equity.
And how does Tonka Bay stack up? Like, where do you guys fall into that mix?
Yeah, good question. So we would be within the buyout sector mm-hmm. of private equity. So our strategy is investing in later stage companies, mm-hmm. companies that have been around for a while, mm-hmm. are making money and are growing and are looking for additional capital to support their growth strategy.
Okay, good. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But what I wanted to talk about next, now that you've kind of set up the different types, is what you said that there's more focus now and that the real estate side of private equity is kind of expanding. What does that look like? What does the market look like today? If I'm a seller of a business, what do I need to know right now if I'm thinking about selling in the next year, maybe, or two?
So from a business owner perspective, mm-hmm. I think the market's continues to be very strong to sell your business. It's been a very strange last few years. If you think about back to 08, 09, the markets continued to go up and to the right really ever since then. Valuations have continued to be strong. COVID caused a little bit of a pause, but post-COVID, the M&A markets have been very strong up until when interest rates started to rise rapidly.
Sure.
And things have slowed down a little bit, but as a result of that little bit of a pause last year, there's a lot of pent-up demand from buyers of businesses. And so if you were a business owner thinking about a transaction, it would be a good time to start a process.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard, too, that, yes, the market is strong. However, the businesses that are being bought and sold aren't just vanilla. Like, they've got differentiators. They're doing well. Would you say that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Good businesses are having success in M&A processes if there's not a differentiation or a unique part of the business. It is a tougher time to be a seller. That is accurate.
That brings me into the picture, right?
Exactly.
Help them get ready, right? Grow the value. Well, so let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, the companies that you invest in, what you're looking for. Maybe you've got a couple of client success stories that you could share as well.
Sure. Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about the types of companies that we're investing in.
Yeah.
And I alluded to this earlier, but you know, we're targeting businesses that are profitable and growing, and typically they are owned by an entrepreneur or a couple of partner entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And those partners are looking for a solution. And we think we can be a good solution for that particular business. And so the businesses typically have between $10 million and $75 million of revenue. They're in a B2B environment, so manufacturing, distribution, or services in a B2B environment. And we typically invest in the Midwest. While we'll go anywhere in the country, most of our investments have been in the Midwest, and a lot of them have been in Minnesota. Hmm. And so with that as a backdrop, I'll give you an example. And it's funny, you know, sometimes the courtship of partnering with a business can take 3 months. Sometimes it can take many years. Mm. And a recent example would be, we had a company here in Minnesota called Orange Tree Employment Screening.
Which I saw is a that company, on your website. Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. a really cool company. Mm-hmm. They perform pre-employment background checks for companies, any company that's hiring employees. The company's been around for a long time, and we originally met the company about 5 years before we invested. Mm-hmm. And it was owned by three individuals. They had certain goals and objectives they wanted to accomplish, and they weren't quite there yet. And so we agreed just to stay in touch. And it's a local company. We're, you know, we have a lot of common acquaintances. And so we stayed in touch over the course of 5 years. And after that 5-year period, mm-hmm. The company had grown. And so they were closer to achieving their goals and objectives. And they mm-hmm. had done some other things with the business, including hiring a new CEO to run the business, who was doing a fantastic job. And so after that 5-year courtship, we ended up putting a deal together. And in 2021, we partnered with the business and put together a solution that really accomplished the owner's goals. As I mentioned, the value had increased over that time, but also they were able to continue to have an ownership stake, which was important to them because they saw the future as bright.
Yeah.
And so they were able to take some money off the table and have a continued ownership stake. And we found a really great local company to partner with.
And so would you say that in most cases, the owner does stay on in some capacity?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. We'd like to think we bring a flexible approach to private equity. Mm. There's, you know, every owner has different goals and objectives, and so we try to craft a solution that works for both sides. But in almost every situation, the owner continues to have some sort of an ownership stake. The percentage is flexible, and what their role is going to be in the company is flexible as well, because usually the owner has certain desires that they want to try to accomplish over the next 5 years personally as well. And so we can craft a solution for them. Mm-hmm. If the owner is looking to exit, we typically try to do that over a couple year period so that it's methodical and it's in the best interest of all the stakeholders, employees, customers, suppliers, and the like.
Definitely.
But we also have a lot of situations where the owner wants to continue to run the business for the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And those are great situations too.
Sure. Well, and you guys come in, infuse some capital, and then they probably could take it to the next level based on, you know, your outside expertise and resources and things like that.
100%. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example that mm-hmm. we invested in a local company here in Little Canada called Apex Revenue Technologies. Mm. And the owner was younger and had built a great business. What they did was outsourced statement processing for healthcare. So hospitals and clinics, mm-hmm. the statements you receive in the mail, they would help with the processing and mailing of those, but also had a technology behind the scenes that would enable online bill pay and things like that. So very cool business. The founder of the business, Brian Kippers, had started it in his garage and built it up to be a fantastic business. But our transaction enabled him to take some money off the table, but probably equally importantly, to have a partner and resources to grow the business. And Brian certainly wasn't risk adverse, but he thought there was an opportunity to do acquisitions. And he had never done an acquisition, and an acquisition would have required more capital. So he could have doubled down or tripled down, but partnering with Tonka Bay enabled him to diversify his net worth outside of the business and then have a partner to grow. So we did a big acquisition in Green Bay, which provided us with a redundant facility, additional revenue, and really jump-started the growth of the business. And so a lot of times these entrepreneurs can accomplish even more with more resources behind them.
Interesting. And so as far as the period of retention and owning the business, what kind of goals do you have around that?
Yeah, we typically put together a 5 to 6 year plan with the business owner.
Okay.
And, you know, our goal is really to try to double the business. If we can double the top line, we're probably going to more than double the bottom line. And we try to put together a strategic plan to do that over a 5 to 6 year period. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer, but that's sort of the map that we start out with.
So what, if we've got some sellers out there that are listening, and I know we do, what are some of the things that you would share with them that they maybe could do to prepare for having a conversation like this? Maybe share what does the process look like? Because, you know, like I said in the beginning of the show, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about how this can work. And you've just kind of, you know, flipped that on its back and told us something different. So what besides that, what else sets you apart, and what are some of the other things that they need to know?
Yeah, there's a lot of things business owners could be thinking of in advance of a transaction, and usually they kind of wait till the last minute, till when they're ready to sell. So it's great to start thinking in advance, which
absolutely,
Julie, you know all about this and actually have written a book about it. So I think there's some things business owners can be doing well in advance of being ready to enter into a discussion with a private equity partner or a potential private equity partner. And these are the types of things that are also going to drive value. One would be the team. Many founders, entrepreneurs, it's just them. They're doing kind of doing everything. Yeah. And to enter into a deal with a private equity partner, having a team around them, or at least the start of a team, is super important. And so that would be one thing. Data is another I would point out. We see all the time that founders know the business cold, but it's by their gut. And they don't, it's in their head, exactly. They don't have a lot of data.
Right.
And the types of questions that we would be asking would require data to advance the conversation. And, you know, some of this is simple stuff, just like the financial statements.
Sure.
Others could be more granular, like customer information, revenue by customer, margins, kind of a big one that a lot of business owners don't have at their fingertips. What's margin look like by customer, by product line? And so starting to pull together that data will help facilitate conversations. Another would be the growth opportunity. Again, business owners typically have really good guts. They know how to grow the business. They've done it. They've been successful. But being able to articulate where the business is heading and how are we going to grow the business together, or what do you see as the vision for growing the business, can be really helpful. And then lastly, de-risking. Many business owners are not risk adverse, and they may have the appetite to take on certain risks. Private equity partners, you know, we're looking out for our investors. And so typically, you know, big material risks can spook a private equity partner. And so if there are those big material risks and you start planning years in advance, you can start to mitigate some of those. A big one would be customer concentration. That's something we see all the time, where a customer is more than a certain percentage of revenue. And if that's the case, it might be a good customer, but it's going to impact valuation upon exit.
For sure. Well, so I've heard this in, you know, depending on who you talk to, they're going to give you a different percentage, right? What would you say is a rule of thumb?
Typically 20% is a rule of thumb.
That's what I thought.
If one customer is more than 20%, that'd
be... Yeah. Somebody said recently, anything more than 10.
Oh, no.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. And I've heard a higher number. I'm like, that doesn't sound comfortable at all. But then, you know, you might end up with a company who's got 40% or 50% of their business coming from like a big box, right?
Right.
Which that's... Would you deem that as more risky or...
You know? Yeah, all customers aren't created equal. So, if a customer has more leverage, so oftentimes mm-hmm. those bigger customers, they can squeeze small suppliers, and so that can be deemed a little bit riskier. Mm-hmm. The other challenge with bigger customers are it's a very good relationship, and so that customer may be growing faster than the rest of the business. And that's where taking a step back and doing some planning could help an owner to try to offset that by growing in different areas to offset the material customer.
Yeah. And I don't know. There's a lot of different examples that I have. In fact, many years ago, when I had my own companies, my other companies, I have my own companies now, but I was in a different industry. And when we first launched in 1989, it was because my husband was working with a law firm and he had acquired this large national account that was sending him all kinds of business. And I'm just like, let's just get out of the law firm and just start something and I'll help grow it, you know, with additional clients. And we were in the title business at the time. We were doing a lot of commercial and residential, lots of new construction. And so I'm really glad that we did it that way, because that was just exactly what you said, like large client. You know, we're just a small fry, and they basically steered and, you know, and demanded, and then we just had to say yes, sir, or no, sir. And so when we got to a point where we could just tell them to, you know, eat rocks, and we did, and it felt really good to be able to do that.
That's so great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not always a pleasant situation.
No. And once they have leverage, they can start to take real advantage of the situation, too. It's not just price. It's terms.
Everything.
It's payment terms.
When they decide to pay. And oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, lots of games. So getting back to Tonka Bay Equity Partners, looking out into the future, what kind of company? I mean, you kind of indicated the size and the industry and things like that, but do you have your sights on anything in particular right now? Just wondering what the future looks like for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked a little bit about the, I mean, it's mostly about the situations that we're looking for business owners that are looking for a partner. So we can bring a solution that provides capital today to take some money off the table, but mm-hmm. Have a partner to grow the business with is really high on our list. Mm-hmm. There are some sectors that we've spent a lot of time in that we would like to try to find additional investment opportunities. A couple I can mention, one would be IT services. Mm-hmm. So we've recently had a lot of success with IT services. These are companies that provide outsourced IT for small businesses. It's a massive industry. It's growing. It's super important with cyber risk and people working from home. And so we have a recent investment here in the Twin Cities called Corporate Technologies that we made in July, and we're pursuing some bolt-on acquisitions for that business and think that's a great industry. We also have a lot of historical knowledge in specialty plastic injection molding. We've had three successful investments in that industry and have a lot of institutional knowledge within Tonka Bay and our network that we would like to try to leverage. And so we're actively looking to find more investments in that industry. And then safety products would be a third. We've mm-hmm. invested in safety products in the past. It's a really nice niche that we have some institutional knowledge of as well, and would love to find more opportunities in that space.
Excellent. And I think that what I want to emphasize here for our listeners, for the business owners out there who are maybe changing their tune a little bit around what private equity could look like, I want to emphasize the fact that this is an opportunity for you to stay involved, that you're not going to get pushed out. Like Tonka Bay actually wants you to stay involved in the business. And I don't know, from the experience that I have with my clients, especially a couple of them that I'm thinking of right now, and one of them who's in the throes of this conversation, they had no idea that private equity could look so good, right? And it's all about fit, just like you said, right? So culture match and fit, and then wanting owners that just, you know, need some help and infusion of capital, grow the business, look for that great opportunity where they just get to a level and they can't quite get over it and they need a little bit of help, and that's what you guys provide.
That's exactly right. I think all private equity is not created equal.
And no, it's not.
Not all firms treat things the same way treat those situations the same way.
Yeah.
And so, it's super important that a business owner figure out what's important to them and then try to find a good match with the private equity partner that they're entering into a deal with.
Definitely. Well, Shane, again, thanks for being on the show and sharing your wisdom and your stories and what's going on at your firm. It's so exciting. We will definitely be putting information on how to get a hold of you in the show notes. And everyone out there, you can watch for us posting this on social media as usual. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Shane, for being here.
Thank you, Julie.
Absolutely. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your network and join us again next time.